Go ahead and turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter 13. We want to continue with our Bible study tonight on the thought of mission work, in particular Paul's first missionary journey. I said we're going to continue on at least through the first missionary journey, may go through all three, I'm not sure. But it's a great burden on my heart that we study this as a church. And I appreciate Clear Branch and your dedication to mission work. You've always been very dedicated to that. And I appreciate even the fact, maybe the things that go unsaid or, you know, unseen a lot of times. It seemed like always somebody here that's working behind the scenes to get the gospel out and just try to be a blessing in this world. And we're thankful for that. But we want to continue on looking at the thought of mission work tonight. In Acts chapter 13, we read down through verse 4, at least the first part of verse 4, last week. And so we're going to continue on from verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And we'll cease reading here with these verses. Now, again, we left off 1 week ago, if you remember, just we left off at the seaport of Seleucia. So Paul and Barnabas, they left their home church at Antioch, and they go about 16 miles down to Seleucia, and there they are at the seaport. And they were about to get on a boat. That's where we left them, about to get on a ship. And now they've gotten on the ship, and they sailed into the island of Cyprus. So that's where they ended up from. Where they left off, the island of Cyprus. And so Paul and Barnabas, they go straight into the Jewish synagogue. So whenever they get on the boat, they sail about 80 miles and they land in the seaport on the island of Cyprus. If you imagine an island, you can also go back to your maps and look. But you've got the island of Cyprus and they come into the east side into the port of Salamis. So that's where they land. That's where they end up coming in to dock. And the first thing they do when they get off is they go straight into the Jewish synagogue. And this is a synagogue. It's just simply a building where Jews assembled for their worship. That's where they went to worship. And those little synagogues seem like were all over the world at that time. And so generally their practice was as soon as they got to a certain place, they went into wherever the Jews met to worship, and they went to them first, went to the synagogue, and then they went to others. But they go into the synagogue, and first, Bible says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or also to the Gentile. So they kept this practice going. They preached the word of God. And Paul said to the Jews, I became as a Jew. You remember that? He said, to the Jew, I became as a Jew, that I could win the Jews. In other words, very specific way that he would conduct himself, he would be as close as he could, he would try to fit into whatever culture he was preaching to. And I mentioned this morning, no way did he ever compromise the truth. But there's nothing wrong with us using the liberty that God has given us in order to make others more comfortable with us. And that's what he was doing. He wanted them to be comfortable with him to the best of his ability, and so he would become like them, even maybe partake in some of their rituals or things of that nature, just so that he could, he might get their attention just a little bit better. I thought about, we began revival over at Mars Hill, and Brother Gary, I began to ask him some things. Is this okay? Is this water good? You know, is the temperature right? And he said, I come here to serve y'all. And I thought that was very good. He made that statement. I'm here to serve y'all. You know, and so whatever's good with you, that's good with me. And I appreciate that about him. He didn't complain or say, you know, I need this or that. He said, I'm here to serve. That's what Paul's doing. I'm here to serve. First Corinthians, let's go ahead and turn, since I've mentioned that, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And hold your place here, we're going to come right back. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Again, this is Paul speaking. Just later on, this was not the first missionary journey, maybe. But in verse 19, he said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." So what I want to get out of this is, first of all, Paul was not wishy-washy. Stating he always preached the truth. There was never a time when he compromised the gospel. And yet he used his liberty in Christ to be able to serve everyone, because to Paul, souls were the goal. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ came to save sinners, and Paul's goal was he wanted to see sinners to be saved. And so that was always what was motivating him. I believe that's what should always motivate mission work, is we're striving to see souls saved. That's what it's all about. And so if you come back to Acts chapter 13, now Paul and Barnabas, they have landed at Salamis, and they begin to travel east to west across the island of Cyprus. And they eventually find their way all the way to the other side, which is Paphos. That's another seaport. So from one seaport to another. Now if you think about the island of Cyprus, it's a pretty good island, a lot of people on it. Was in that day. There's right at 1 million people, I believe, on it today, close to it. And Cyprus is 3,572 square miles, if you like math. It's, you know, pretty good size island. And I thought it was very interesting when they would come on to this place. It would be absolutely breathtaking, beautiful. It's surrounded by white beaches, at least a portion of the island where they landed for sure. Was white beaches. So when you get here, you're thinking, man, we just landed in paradise. But looks can be deceiving, because immediately when you go into the interior of that island, it becomes very, very rugged. So much so the trip, if I understand and got my math right, it's about 113 miles from where they landed, and they kind of skirted around. There was a road, so they kind of skirted around the underbelly of the island, and yet it was still very rugged, very, very rugged. And keep in mind, they didn't have paved highways to ride on during this time. So when you read of a road, it was probably a trail that was cut or something. Or maybe in some places they would throw down some stones, or, you know, but all in all, it was primitive days. And so they didn't have a grader to grade the roads. They just had a way to go. So the highest peak, and I'm throwing out some things because I want us to see the physical things they would have to endure, but also the spiritual thing. The highest peak on that island is called Mount Olympus, and it's 6,404 foot from sea level. So just for perspective, Clingman's Dome is 6,621. So about the same as Clingman's Dome. That's in the center of the island. And so, of course, this is a lot more compact. So a lot more rugged and up and down and up and down. So that being said, the walk was not for the faint of heart. And I guess for reference sake, similar temperatures to Mississippi as well. But, you know, they had 95 plus degree summers just like we do. So that's probably the traveling conditions that they're dealing with. So as they travel along, they have John Mark as their helper. You got Barnabas and you got Paul, and both of them are preachers and missionaries, and they both ready to preach. And so they've taken along John Mark, and he's kind of their helper. And that's important because somewhere along in this journey, he's going to depart. By the end, whenever they leave here and get to the next place, he departs. And that greatly offends the Apostle Paul. It gets off with him. He gets aggravated about that. And, of course, later on in the second journey, that's very important because Paul said, no, I'm not going off with John Mark anymore. Whenever you have a brother that offends you, it's hard to reconcile that sometimes, even among great spiritual men like the Apostle Paul. That was something that was a sore spot with him. It offended him. And so he was not willing to even go on another journey with him for a little while. Of course, that's later, there's a remedy for that. But Paul refuses to travel with him on that second missionary journey, and he departs from Barnabas even. Barnabas kind of headstrong, like maybe like Paul, and look, we're going to take John Mark. No, I'm not going with him. And it's so sharp between them that finally Paul says, Barnabas, you go with him. I'll take old Silas over here. We'll go. And so they split off. That's very interesting to me because there's always opposition. There's always trials and there's always obstacles that you have to face in the work of God. But they return, or as they're going through the island, somewhere as they go from point A to point B, they find this deputy. And this deputy, he is a very prudent man. Scripture, you know, tells us that he's a very prudent man. That means he's very wise. He's a reasonable man. He, you know, easy to talk to. He's reasonable. And so he's paying a lot of attention to what Paul is preaching. But as they would run into him, they also, of all things, a sorcerer. You run into all kind of people in this world, can't you? I mean, it's getting worse. We're running into more and more craziness in this world as well. The crazy people were not all that crazy. Now, crazy's crazy. There's no doubt about that. But they run into all people, a sorcerer. And, of course, we know what the Scripture says about sorcery and witchcraft and all that, that we are to stay away from that. It's very demonic. And we've got examples in Scripture of sorcerers, of witches that, you know, was the witch in Endor. She was able to speak to the dead. You know, a lot of people, oh, there's nothing to all that. There's something to it. There's very much something to it, and it's very much an evil and a demonic thing. And so the Lord says, stay away from it. Stay away from it. And so that's what they're having to deal with. Now, they're trying to win a soul, and they've got this fellow sorcerer that, you remember in the days of Moses, the sorcerers there, that they were able to cast down their staff, and it became a serpent as well. They were able to imitate the miracles that God performed through Moses. They were able to imitate that, at least to some degree. So, it's not just, well, they run into a sorcerer. They run into a sorcerer. And it was a big deal. It was something that they had to deal with. And so The mission is the deputy. That's the mission. On Cyprus, we know the mission is the deputy. And yet, the mission is always opposed by the adversary. Anytime that the devil sees God's work being done, led by the Spirit, there's always opposition to it. Always. We wrestle demonic forces. And the longer I live in this world, the more I see that. We are wrestling against demonic forces. And nothing good comes without adversity. Ultimately, as we've been studying in our Sunday school lesson, the devil hates God. That he exists now to oppose God. And so anytime that something good is going on that would please God, the devil is right there to try to spoil it. And the closer we get to the end time, the more so he's doing that. And the more power he's gaining, because the world is increasingly getting more and more evil. And so we wrestle those demonic forces as well. But we don't have apostolic gifts to just command spirits like Paul did. And of course, the Word of God was not complete at this time, so he still had apostolic uniqueness about him, and he just commands this man to be blind, and he was blind. And that was done to stress the power of God is with these men. These are men of God. And again, they didn't have all of Scripture that we have to back up or to authenticate them. And so they had these gifts. So we don't have that, but don't be discouraged about that. We have the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, and we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. We're able to withstand anything he throws at us by the armor of God, and we have the power of prayer. Ephesians 6, that's 10 through 20, and if you hadn't been coming to Sunday school, we're studying the armor of God. And so it's very good study. But like Paul, we have been made ambassadors for a heavenly kingdom. And so if just one soul is saved, it is worth the trip. He was able to go to this island, and on this island, this whole island of Cyprus, we know that there's one deputy that got saved. We know that it was opposed by a sorcerer, and yet he still gets saved. And I believe if nothing else happened on all the 3,500 miles, however many miles it was, I think I got that wrong, about 1,500, I believe, total round trip. But I believe he could have come back and said it was worth it. Just one soul got saved. It was worth it. Because that one soul might be able to help everybody on that entire island. Just one soul worth the trip. Just one soul is worth us getting behind and supporting mission work, especially in pagan territory. Why do you say that, Brother Brad? Because, well, that's why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. There's other lost people where he was at. But we need to go over to Samaria. Because when that one woman got saved in Samaria, she made a difference with all of her people. And then Jesus goes to where the demoniac is. And that one demoniac gets saved. And he makes a difference with all of his people. And so it's very important that we do mission work and take it to places that may not have it like we do. We've always said this, and I heard Brother James Broome say the statement years and years ago, and I've always just kind of echoed that. We have lived under the drippings of the gospel all of our life. You can hear it on every corner just about it. You can get in your car in a few minutes. You can be at a good church that preaches the gospel. You can turn the radio on. You hear it. We have been blessed. But there's places in the world that certainly has not like we have. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, the deputy believed, so a soul has been saved. God's word had the power to change the world, but going was key. God gave his word to his church, but he said, you go to the world. And whenever they settled in at Jerusalem, God allowed things to come along that would scatter them. And then when they got comfortable, something would come along and no doubt scatter them some more. And we have seen that throughout history, that any time the church has went through adversity, generally that stirs the church up and church gets to moving and gets to doing good things again. So I think that's a good lesson, that we don't ever want to get settled in a rut. You get settled in a rut and it might bring on much adversity. So let's just do what God said without that, and we'd be so much better. So Paul and Barnabas show us a great determination. First of all, to get on the boat in the first place and to sail. There's a lot to that, but I believe this. But Mike, I believe they counted the cost before they ever left. And they realized, in order to do this, we're going to have to be completely, totally submissive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there's no backing out. They did not quit. Even though John Mark bailed on them, they still didn't quit. They kept on going. Things that they could have never imagined come up, and they kept on going. With those challenges, the grace of God was sufficient. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul later on. He says, for we would not, and this again is not on the first missionary journey, this is later. But listen to what he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. So you know, the first time they go on a trip, God forbid them to go to Asia, but they do later go back. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. I'll tell you what, when I read that, it almost takes my breath away to think, because what Paul did go through. And then he said, at this time I was pressed beyond measure. So you know, he must have a pretty high pain tolerance, it would seem. But he said, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You think mission work got tough? It got tough. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So they entered into Asia, and they are pressed beyond measure. They go through things that it's above what they have the strength to even be able to endure. And this statement, it gets me. He says, insomuch that we despaired of life. He said, we would have been fine if the Lord would just let us die. We would have been fine with that. We welcomed that. It got so bad. But he lets us know the grace of God is sufficient. Even during that time, God brought us through it, and now here we are, still going and still have the opportunity to preach to the world. So, how needful, though, and this is what I want to close with tonight, in verse 11, how needful and how helpful it was for God's people everywhere to be praying for this work. He knew people were praying for him. He knew that. God was answering prayer. When things got so bad they despaired of life, God's people were praying and it helped. And he notes that. And it's the holy inspired word of God. So we know that he's not just saying that to make us feel good. He's saying, your prayer helped me during that time. I want to encourage us as we close tonight. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. I feel like that it's real easy for us to get discouraged and think, well, you know, God will do something if he wants to, and if he don't want to, he's not going to. And prayer is a great power we have with God. And it's very, very needful. God's people need to be praying people. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer for defense and prayer for offense. We're not simply on the defense in the last days. We are on offense. And so we need to be praying for souls to be saved and for the adversary to be hindered. God has the ability to hinder the adversary from hurting. He has that ability. And we need to pray, God, hinder him from hurting us. Hinder him from disrupting us so that we can carry on the work. But notice, I want you to notice the physical struggles that they had to go through. And then the spiritual, just on one island. And this is just with these people. And it gets worse. But the spiritual obstacles they had to come through. Here's somebody that wants to be saved, but my goodness, a sorcerer. Of all people. Trying to disrupt. He is trying to turn this deputy from believing. Why is that? Why is that? Except it be that the devil is at work. And he's opposing God. Everywhere we look, he's trying to oppose God. I want to continue next week. We're leaving the island of Cyprus and we're going to sail to the port of Perga. That's in Pamphylia, which we have no idea maybe where's Pamphylia at. It's modern day Turkey. That's where they leave this island. They sail to modern Turkey. And somewhere in the midst of all this, John Mark abandons these men. And Paul gets very offended by this. But the mission must go on.